Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, this is Jay Michaels. Welcome to the Passion Pit. This is a podcast about the world of independent arts and artists. Now, here's a secret. Don't tell anyone, but there's a Republican in the White House. Yeah, I know. I'll leave the elaboration to Bill Maher in real time on HBO. But let's look at another Republican president. This one apparently had some really good intentions. Now, I don't mean to talk politically. If I wanted to feed trolls, I would do so by putting some mutton and ale and a small bejeweled ring under a bridge. But we are now in a world where bombs are sent to artists and politicians. Death threats are made to journalists. Prayer is a crime punishable by execution. Laws meant to protect and equalize are being eradicated, while thugs and stooges are bestowed positions of power. All the while, the governing body laughs. We're not loving our neighbors, ladies and gentlemen. We're loving Big Brother. And if you don't know that reference, Google Orwell's 1984. Now, Spit and Vigor has had some amazing success with a play called The Brutes. It was at the venerable Planet Connections Theater Festival last summer, and now it has its own run at the New Ohio Theater. Where the old Wings Theater used to be is where the New Ohio Theater was. I didn't know that'd be a tongue twister. I had a great deal of time chatting. I had a great time chatting with Adam Belvo, who will talk to you about the play and about the backstory, which is about a theater family before they performed a historic production of Julius Caesar. Oh no, I hear you cry, Shakespeare, snoozer! And who cares about a theater family, right? Well, what if the theater family was the Booth family? Junius, Edwin, and John Wilkes Booth. Don't know who I'm talking about? Well, after you Google 1984, Google Lincoln's assassination.
Absolutely.
And it's for the same project, for The Brutes.
Yes.
Really exciting. You depict the Booth family at a very pivotal time in their lives. And it's rather ironic that they're doing Julius Caesar as well.
Right. And in kind of a real ironic twist, John Wilkes plays Mark Antony, who's the anti-conspirator, who's against the people who assassinate Caesar. And then 6 months later, he up and assassinates President Lincoln.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. There's a movie, and it's obviously based on fact, called Cradle Will Rock, and it talks about the same thing. It talks about a musical that was lauding the unions, and the unions helped close it down. So it's just ironic what you see on stage and in real life. Tell us about Adam Belvo. Tell us about Spit and Vinegar. I'm sorry, that's a habit I always do. Spit and Vigor. And the production of The Brutes. There's an old expression, spit and vinegar, and so it just always sticks in my brain. But tell us about Spit and Vigor.
We combined the name, so it's Spit and Vinegar and Vim and Vigor. So we put the two things together, and that's how we get Spit and Vigor.
There you go.
It sounded to us like something where you roll up your sleeves, you get down into it, and you get into the dirty nitty-gritty of humanity.
Right.
That's kind of what the company approaches. We tend to look at shows and topics that deal with human issues with a view for the full humanity of all of the characters, you know, no matter what their viewpoints and how people interact with each other and how human interaction can be messy. We like to pull out stories that don't necessarily have satisfying conclusions, things where maybe bigger questions come up about who we are, either as a nation in this instance, or just in terms of how we relate to each other as human beings. I've been producing with my producing partner, Sarah, who's the artistic director, Sarah Fellini. We've been producing those now since 2015. So this will be coming up on just shy of 4 years.
4 years. In independent theater years, that's about 20. So good. Congratulations to you.
Yeah. Thank you. We tend to do small tight productions that usually have, you know, I don't know, like either two-handers or maybe like, you know, 4 to 6 characters. This is kind of a bit of a breakout for us. The cast is very large. We have 12 actors in this show.
Hmm. That is great. But you're keeping your intimacy because I know the show's in the round and the set evolves from one location to another quite easily.
That's right. We really like the fluidity of space that you can get by staging things in the round. Plus, it also increases the intimacy that the audience feels, and you really get the sense that you're a fly on the wall in this space, that you're embedded with the actors, that you're not like it's not exactly immersive theater where you're just walking around and things are happening around. You feel like, okay, we're in this together. We're going to, you know, come to a conclusion through this with the actors. We're all part of the same team.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Now, it had a very successful run at Planet Connections. Tell us about that. What was the decision from there to bring it here to the New Ohio?
So I earlier this year had wanted to produce the show at a theater downtown, and Sarah and I were discussing possibilities. We were discussing the Flamboyant. I know Robert Lyons from years ago. I used to work at the Old Ohio. As a matter of fact, the company that originally did the first reading of this show, Aztec Economy, we did a couple of ice factories with Robert. So that's how we knew him and the Old Ohio Theater. When they moved to the new space, we were always trying to find a way to get a spot there. And at the beginning of the year, we were looking for theaters. The Planet Connections Theater Festivity was a fantastic avenue for us to get the place staged and kind of on its feet. And while that was going on, Jacqueline Biscup, Mark, and Robert all reached out to us from the New Ohio and said, we'd really like to have you guys in. And so that was kind of it. It was, all right, well, we have a space. Let's do a show.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
You bring up an interesting point. Do you think festivals are a great there's so many reasons to be in a festival. Do you think like a major reason is to take a play like yours and let it have a run as opposed to a workshop or something, but a regular run to iron it out and get the staging before bringing it to a place like the New Ohio to bring it to its own successful run?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in this instance, it's actually worked to our benefit because there's for two reasons. One, it allows us to get it up on its feet, to test out things, see what works, see what doesn't. It allows us to get our footing. Also, you begin to generate buzz about the show. So because we've done it and we did it at a festival and particularly a very good festival where you had a central location where anybody who was part of that festival could see those shows for free. So we had just people who might never have heard of us or come out and seen a show popping in to see what was up. And that generated a lot of, you know, good feedback, either in terms of reviews or in terms of audience feedback. So that was actually very helpful, I think, to get that kind of feedback. And that has kind of become a part of our current process in terms of how we're staging it and keeping in mind, okay, so this worked last time, let's do it better, or this never really got here, let's figure out what that is.
Uh-huh. It's also a great, clever thing in terms of publicity. You're walking into a theater already with reputations and reviews.
That's right.
It's sort of like you've had your previews, if you will.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in this instance, I think festivals can be very helpful.
Okay, here's the big elephant in the room question. You're talking political. We are in a very political or politicized world at the moment. How is The Brutes a learning tool for what's going on today?
So the interesting story here is that I have always felt that this show, while it certainly does not condone the violence that Wilkes took, it does take a look at the way the family dynamics work and also the way that say in terms of like we would view like a mass shooter now, where you look at that person, you're like, oh my God, how did they get to that point? Hmm. You look at the way the play approaches Wilkes and you see somebody who is flailing, who has these little outbursts, and at any point, anybody who's around him can see what's going on and can choose to step in and say, hey buddy, what's going on? Can choose to make the hard choice to engage and to actually take some kind of action. But in this instance, you know, whether it was fate and it was meant to happen, or this is just the way things rolled out, even if they had tried, you see where history goes. But the interesting thing that I think this play brings up is that we don't live in a vacuum. Things don't just happen because, well, this one guy was X, Y, and Z. It's a very complicated dynamic situation. And it looks at the play with a sense of humanity towards everybody, towards Wilkes, towards Edwin, towards their sister Asia, towards the players, as people who are all trying to operate within this world and dealing with each other and maybe seeing or maybe not seeing, like, how do you recognize those warning signs of somebody who's on edge, who might need help, do you choose to take action? I think in a time like right now, where I think everybody is hyper-politicized and, you know, tends to be on edge, I think it does well to remember to calm down, take a step back, and remember we're all people. And if you pay attention and you see the signs, you might be able to actually reach out and help somebody out before something, you know, awful occurs.
Do you think that's a message that people will take away, that maybe they'll leave this and say, okay, the next time my very sullen neighbor tells me he can't stand something, I really should engage him as opposed to just hiding my face? Do you think it's going to make a statement to humanity on that level?
It's an interesting point to bring up. I would hope that that's something that's taken away. I do see that it's something in the zeitgeist right now. It's something that certainly has come up in, like, The Haunting of Hill House and other series that are out right now. So people seem to be aware that, you know, things like, you know, mental illness or depression or anxiety, anger issues, anger management issues, these things do exist. And they're things that I think we're at a place in terms of our development where we can recognize that, we can empathize with it, and it's how we choose to go about helping. And I feel like if we're in a position where we might be able to do something, say something, or even just, you know, try and get that person help, I think, you know, it's something that I think people could do with, you know, being kinder.
I'm hearing this in a lot of the interviews I have. There's a notion that theater must educate, that at the end of the day it must educate. So basically, you're giving me the same message, which is glorious, that when you come out of the play, you're not supposed to just say, oh, what a nice show, and then move on to something else. You're supposed to say, now how does this affect my life? What do I need to do to change after seeing this? And that's great.
I would hope that, like, the show is entertaining enough that people would be entertained by it, but then also that those questions that we pull up, those questions will stick with people. Like, I've always loved performing theater and seeing theater, that whether or not it per se educates me, at the end of the night, I want to go out with my friends and talk about it. I want to go to a bar. I want to go out to a restaurant. I want to just go to somebody's apartment, sit around and think, wow, that was really cool. What happened here? What do you think that meant? That's the kind of theater that I want to bring into the world. So if this show in any way, shape, or form, you know, contributes to that culture, you know, that would be fantastic.
That's great. That is really great. What's the next step for Spit and Vigor? This closes. It will get many awards and many wondrous reviews, if I have anything to say about it. And then what happens next?
So right now we are we're kind of a bit open. We have a reading series called the Blue Light Series, which we'll be taking through probably, I guess, June of next year. We're on a bit of a hiatus right now because we're trying to get the Brutes up. But starting again probably in late December or definitely early January, we'll begin the readings again, which those are just submissions that we get to our website. They can be emailed to spitandvigor@gmail.com. Just send us a play. If once we receive them, we read them. We set up a time or a month to get a group of actors together. It's just a very, you know, low-key, easy reading to see if it might be something that we could do. Also to help develop scripts. That's the next kind of step for us right now. Also, I know that Sarah is working on a play right now about a Italian woman in Chicago who was falsely accused of murder in the 20s or 30s, I believe. Hmm. So that's kind of the next step for us, is the development of that, perhaps.
Do you think that's an era that is coming back into play, the 20s and 30s? I'm hearing that David Sabella, who runs Cabaret Hotspot, was talking about the American Standards and American Songbook, and I'm hearing that from a lot of authors. Do you think we're now looking at the pre-war times in America in terms of our artwork? Do you think we're looking at that era again?
That's a good question. I'm not sure it seems to be in the zeitgeist, is really cool. It's almost as if right now, I wonder if right now, because things are so political and because we're looking for kind of a foundation, if we are looking back into our past to try and find things to remember who we are as people, as either a means of bringing us together or to further elucidate, you know, who we are and how it was that we got here. I wonder if there may be something to that.
That's great. That's definitely something to think about. Okay, my last question. Tell us something that's not in the press release, something we don't know. Funny, touching, whatever it is. Tell us a secret that nobody knows about the show, about the company, whatever.
All right. So we handpicked all of these actors. Some of the actors have come with us from the run this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we went through kind of an exhaustive process of finding people. We wanted to make sure that everybody was that role, you know, whether it was Brute One or whether it was Junius Jr. And for years now, I have been trying to get my dear friend Colt Keeney up here to do a show because I think he is a phenomenal actor. And when we did this show over the summer, I had reached out to him and said, I really want you to play John Wilkes. And he said, well, I'll think about it. Well, this time around, we thought, well, we have a couple months. Let's see if maybe we can get him to get, you know, some, you know, ends tied off in Austin and fly him up here. And he agreed. So we flew our John Wilkes booth up from Austin, Texas.
Oh.
He's been staying with me. And yeah, it's been a phenomenal ride.
See, that should be in the press release. Oh my goodness, you flew an actor up for this. That's exquisite.
Yeah. Well, it kind of, I think we had already gotten the press release finalized when it was absolutely secure. Like, oh, he is coming. Okay, you know, there have been on a knife's edge of, is it going to happen? Is it not? And then it was, oh no, it's happening right around the time that we finalized the press release. So,
I think you should. I think you should speak to your press release, your press agent, and tell him a second press release needs to go out talking about this because that's great.
That's great.
All right. On the program, I'm going to tell everyone where to get tickets and where the new Ohio Theater is. And here's a bit of trivia. That used to be the Wings Theater on Christopher Street.
Yes, I performed in the Wings Theater. Yes. Back in the day, I performed there.
Back in the day. Thank you. You've just aged me because I remember it well. And I'll tell everyone about that. I'm sorry?
Those old rickety seats that were there. I loved that theater. It was the best and the worst of downtown theater because you could see the weirdest thing there and also the most like passionate and like connected, beautiful thing. It was great. I loved that space. I mean, I love the new Ohio too, but there's something about that derelict seating bank. I was like, here I am again. I'm in Wings Theater.
Oh, the good old days of off Broadway. And you couldn't get any more off than that. My God, when I went to see a show there, I can't remember how long ago, I just kept walking down Christopher Street. I was like, am I going to walk into the water? Where is this theater? So it was a pleasure for me to hear that name again, to know where it is. I will tell everyone about it on the program. And thank you so much for taking some time with us. Good luck. The show is next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see it. And all the best. And here's to Spit and Vigor and Long May It Wave.
Thank you very much for speaking with me, Jay. It's great talking with you.
Anytime. Same here. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Ciao. Take care. Bye.
The Brutes. This production is now at the New Ohio Theater, 154 Christopher Street. Sarah Fellini returns as director. Performances are November 23 through December 9, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. Tickets are $30. For more information, please visit Spit and Vinegar, SPITNVIGOR.com. or jmichaelsarts.com for further info. That's it, folks. Thanks for listening. I want to mention our opening theme song, which is from the band Human Wire, and that song is Rivolta Silenziosa. I would also like to thank my producer and partner in life and crime, Mary Elizabeth McCary. Thank you, folks, for listening. And next time you got a couple of 20s burning a hole in your pocket, you can go see a play. I'll talk to you soon.